All right. So yes, the Love Hunter back here. And you know, the thing that's really cracking me up now is just seeing a difference in people that are dating, people that are newly married or engaged, and you know, those of us that are kind of, you know, down the road in life, you know, trying to work on, you know, what it is we're working on. You know, currently my life is work and coaching, and you know, I wake up every morning, you know, as a, like, I wake up as me. Then I wake up, I'm a husband, I see my wife right next to me. Then I wake up and look and I'm like, oh my God, let me get my daughter ready for school, blah, blah, blah. That's my job. So I'm all these different people in the same day. You know, I'm me. You know, hopefully I get up, meditate, relax. That's your meditation, prayer, relaxation. Sip the coffee, read the books. And, you know, I see my wife, she's asleep, looking like an angel. And, you know, then next, you know, I have my breakfast, I relax. And I go get my daughter up for school, get her ready for school. I get her there, I get her back. I coach and have a phenomenal, you know, team. And then I work, you know. So in all of that, there's these little like moments where I kind of laugh because I'm like, man, I remember, you know, being back in my 20s and I'd have nothing to say, but I had all the time in the world. Like I could talk. And I mean, at that time she was my girlfriend. I could talk to my wife and we'd be on the phone just talking, just laying sideways. And like, yeah, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You remember? Yeah, yeah. That's the, yeah, you hear the new Mariah Carey song? Yeah, yeah, Busta Rhymes. Yeah, baby, if you give it to me, I'll give it to you. That's all you want. And it comes Mariah. Baby, if you give it to me. She got that little raspiness. Baby, if you give it to me. So, I mean, we'd be talking, laying down, you know, half sleep, half talking. You just got all that time. You got all that time. Now, I got to make a Microsoft Teams meeting. I got to get penciled in the calendar just to talk to my wife. And that's just how busy we are. Okay, what day is it? Is it we swimming today? Is it piano today? Is it dance today? Do I got to mow the lawn today? Am I cooking today? Am I grilling today? What am I doing? And you try to fit in that little bit of life, you know, right after, you know, work or school or whatever. Because that's who we are. We're all these shards and pieces of life. And when people reach out and grab a ribbon, you know, of what you are in life, they're like, oh, you can cook? Yeah, yeah, making sour cream enchiladas, you know. Oh, yeah, put them in the oven this amount of time. It's going to be good, blah, blah, blah. Maybe use a little Chipotle seasoning. And then they find out, oh, I didn't know you coach, or I didn't know you worked for the company. Like, they just don't know. So, you know, we've got all these sides to us, like a Rubik's Cube. Yeah, we've got all these, you know, sides to us like a Rubik's Cube. And still, you're single, you're newly engaged or married, or you're like deep in this thing. And it just blows my mind that no matter how diverse or much of a Rubik's Cube we are, no matter how, I guess, how would I say this? It's not that you turn any of those things off. It just amazes me what gets boosted or what gets amplified at those specific times. And for those of you that don't know, if you're going to be married, you're going to be dating, and you know, plan on having kids, it really changes you so much. I used to hear rappers and actors talk about this so much. You know, I got this way mentally when I had my kids, or I started thinking this way when I have my kids, and you know, I started being like this when I have my kids. I'm like, well, what is it when you have your kids? It just pushes you in such a different way. You get your buttons pushed so much. And I think the main factor is your time is utilized so different. And in the work world, you meet other moms, other dads. You know, some are younger, some are older, doesn't matter. But you have a barrage, a portfolio, a buffet of things hitting you between 25 and 35 that you never could have imagined, right? You see people getting married that you never thought would get married, or their stories just don't lead to marriage. You're going to funerals and seeing people pass away that you never thought possible. It's groundbreaking, earth-shattering to see that these people are, you know, gone, that these people have left us. That has an effect on you. In weddings, funerals, graduations, and motivations, especially like for whoever company you work with or whatever business you run, if you're an entrepreneur, all this changes you. And now we're reading, Dare to Lead with Brené Brown. And some people take what they're doing in work and bring it into their personal life, and vice versa, you know. So that's one thing that I know as a manager and a coach. You're not coaching the role. You're coaching and managing the person. So you need to take time to coach and know that person. So in theory, the better manager slash coach will know the person. Do you know the person that you're interacting with? It's like I said, this Rubik's Cube, the Rubik's Cube that you are, it will be boosted and highlighted in certain areas because of what you're going through, right? And so those of you that are, you know, trying to get back out in relationships and trying to get it going, maybe you're newly divorced, right? And as a Cupid, I try to hook people up all the time. Going through it right now. Just trying to hook some people up that I know, that I care about, that I love. You know, I'm trying to hook them up so that they can have, a second chance at happiness. I ultimately want to help them get to what I know they were trying to get in their marriage. Because that Rubik's Cube I'm talking about, those sides and those, they really got put on full blast in their marriage. And before their divorce, what most people don't know is you're trying so hard to make that Rubik's Cube fit and get that middle piece aligned to the right side. And you may have had the right training and therapy for marriage therapy, marriage classes years ago. You may not. You may have a good grounded group of people around you that are married. You might not. You might have, you know, your mom and pops, you know, dad and mom around you to show you what a quality marriage is. And then you might not. So all of these things like influence, friends, they influence, okay, how well you can get this Rubik's Cube lined up. And I don't know which side. I don't know which sides you need facing and complete to have a quality life. I don't. But please trust and believe that what you're going through, whether you're single, newly dating, or newly engaged, newly married, or going through it, they will be put on full blast. They will be highlighted. So I think it was self-care. I was watching Insecure and they did self-care Sundays. it really becomes important, and this is the main heart of my message, it really becomes important to take time and just work on you, just understand you. And that's why with like Cat Williams, like it makes me laugh. He told a lot of fiction. He told a lot of lies in his interview. And the funny part is it was 2/3 truth. So it was like 70% truth on what he was saying about his own experiences and his perspective. And then the other 30% was like him making jokes and laughing, and he just didn't laugh, which made it seem like he was trying to be truthful and honest. So he knows himself well enough to know that what he's got going on is either for him or against him, because those sides of his Rubik's Cube are really being put on full blast. I don't even know if Cat Williams has ever been married or divorced or maybe single. I don't know any of that info. I do believe he has kids. But as we just keep pushing through life, we keep getting a highlight of those sides of the Rubik's Cube that we're trying to make fit. Our mental health is a side of the Rubik's Cube. Our physical health is a side of the Rubik's Cube. Our relationships, like when I say relationships, I don't mean like, oh, that's my friend. It's like how you relate to that person. Like, do you contribute to that relationship or are you just an energy vampire? Do you help your friend? Do you hold them accountable? Or are you just there every time like the new Jordans drop? Or are you just there every time a new Stanley Cup comes out? Or is it just shopping, right? What actual value does this friendship have? Because you're going to need it. So mental health is a part of the Rubik's Cube. Physical health is a part of the Rubik's Cube. How you relate to people is a side of the Rubik's Cube. And then, that's life, family, friends, how you manage, how you coach, how you work with people, the dare to lead stuff. I'm trying to think what else. Oh yeah, your personal interests. That's definitely a side of the Rubik's Cube. Like your personal interest. Like that's a strong side of the Rubik's Cube. You can kill that and dead that and set the Rubik's Cube flat on its side and never see that. And you drop you. You need to be you. You need to have fun as you. But please understand that other side of the Rubik's Cube, how you relate to people, you can't put that flat on its side so that we don't see that either. Like you should be holding it in your hands. I think that's what happens is we think that we've got one side of the Rubik's Cube completed so well that we can set it down and you don't see it. When people can't see you, and I've learned this now, it's hard. When people can't see you, they don't know what to do. So they go other directions. When they can't see the mental or spiritual side of the Rubik's Cube, they just check out. They're like, oh, well, they just don't have one. I actually spoke up in a meeting yesterday. I just said, you know, we have systematically, we keep having, you know, one group not show up to these large corporate meetings. And when we have this one group not show up to these large corporate meetings, it always leaves a huge black hole, and then we all go to fight each other. I don't think that's fair. Now, what will we possibly get out of meeting with these people? I would like some answers. But because we don't have it, it would probably end up where we actually have more questions. And so for those of us that are single, newly engaged, newly married, and you know, in this thing for a while, I'm seeing it now. The problems and issues that we're having in our marriage and relationships, those pieces of the Rubik's Cube were always present. They were always there. If you didn't like Doritos or Fritos or Tostitos when you were single, you're not going to like him when you were married. If you couldn't cook to save your life or grill to save your life when you were single, it's not going to happen when you were married. It's not. I know that sounds dark and morbid, but you have to have that desire, that want in you to do these things. If it's not there, it's not going to be that. It's not going to be there. And the more people try to tell you, hey, did you look at the side of the Rubik's Cube with remodeling and landscaping and all that? If they don't have that in their hobbies part of the Rubik's Cube, if they don't have that in there, there's like, why? There's no point in even trying to, you know, do that thing. A lot of people just don't know themselves. And that's the thing I get from somebody like Cat Williams. Like, I love comedians. There's great authors, great speakers. They know themselves so well that they can actually shake you up. They know themselves so well that, they know themselves so well that, they know themselves so well. Example, I hate onions, right? Or green peppers or cantaloupe or mushrooms, whatever. Whatever it is you hate. Let's say it's, I don't know, something crazy. A jumbo shrimp. So let's say you hate jumbo shrimp. And you go to an elite world famous restaurant. And the chef is cooking jumbo shrimp. He's the greatest jumbo shrimp cooker, marinator, dip, butter sauce, whatever it is. When he brings that plate out to you, and everybody's watching you, oh my God, you're going to eat it? You're going to eat it? You're going to take a bite? You're going to eat it? I'm not eating that food. Like, at all. I'm not touching that thing. I know me. And at that last minute, I'm not going to flip different sides of the Rubik's Cube to find out which side I can, you know, I can, well, but maybe it's on this side. No, don't fumble. Don't fumble. There's just a lot that can be said about us, about people and our decision making, what we're doing and how we're doing it. And that's kind of like what I really want to get at is we have these sides to ourselves that are very important, that are very necessary. And how would I go back in time and tell my single self to work on X, Y, Z? Boy, that's the real noodle, isn't it? I think the real heart of success is aligning yourself with people that have what you want. And I don't mean that in a sense where you got your hand out to take money, but as much as possible, we need to align ourselves with the people that are doing what we're trying to do. So I'm talking about relationships and all that. And the funny thing is, I know for without a shadow of a doubt, if I asked any football coach here, hey, would you like to sit down and talk to the defensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs? Hey, would you like to sit down and talk to the defensive coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers? Because they just shut down the Lions. There isn't any coach that would want to turn that down. But what do we do in our lives? Hey, would you like some help with that? No, I'm good. I got it. We're not good. We don't got it. There's so many things that you're going to face in life that will throw you off. They're going to throw you off the horse. And I was thinking about this the other day. I'm like, wow, man, I remember when I was single, just walking around my apartment. I come home after a long day of work, close the door, listen to my neighbors upstairs playing, you know, their music and jamming. Because it was like, I'm the only black dude. I live in the neighborhood with nothing but Mexicans. It was heaven. The food, the play, everything always smelled good. The music was always good. It was heaven. It was awesome. And for an R&B guy like me that loves R&B and music, like, it was heaven. My people, they treated me great. Yeah, I would come home and just throw my stuff off. Like, I would just throw it. Oh, I would laugh at it. I'd be like, hey, throw that there, throw this there. Now, my stuff was dirty, right? I had to go clean it up and do my laundry, you know, that same night. But I took great pride, great pleasure in being able to do whatever I want, right? Whatever I want. I took great pride in that. And and it was just kind of crazy because at that time, if you would have sat down and told me, hey, you know, this is something you're going to want to look at, you know, for your marriage, for your life, for this, that, and the third, I would have been like, huh? Like, example, one of my buddies, he watched his sister raise his daughter, you know, raise his niece. He watched his sister, you know, raise her daughter, you know, all by herself. And he told me, you know, with my little one, when my daughter is about to, you know, join us on this planet of thinking and living and all that is grand. He was like, yeah, be there. When your wife gets up in the morning for those feedings, be there. Like at 3 a.m., 5 a.m., be there. That was his advice. And as you're going through the process of, like, say, breastfeeding and all that, there's a lot of stress there. And for any man that doesn't want to take the time to hear this, whatever, you can cut it off right now. Because I mean, I don't know what everybody wants. Everybody hates the woke culture, but they don't want to talk about breastfeeding. I've never been afraid of a breast in my life. As a matter of fact, I want to give a woman a dap when she's breastfeeding. I'm like, hey, nice boob, good job, great job feeding your child. If you understood how much pressure is on you, okay, to feed this child from the area near your heart, okay, your heart. Everybody loves to talk about heart in football. Everybody loves to talk about heart getting up, getting every day to work. Everybody loves to talk about heart and dedication in career. They are feeding your child as close to their heart as possible. And keep in mind, their heart pumping and beating is what's keeping this whole machine driving. And they're feeding this child. Being there when that woman needs help and support is very important, because she can't get up. She can't move. I mean, if she's got to use the bathroom, whatever, she's got to wait. If she's tired and sleep deprived, what, 3 hours, 4 hours of sleep? Doesn't matter. You're trying to grow this human being like a bodybuilder, the real bodybuilder. You're losing the same amount of calories you would eat in a meal in seconds to feed this child. And as a man, all you have to do is be there for the third down feeling. It's third down. You know, that's how it's going to feel every time. It's third down. It's all you have to do is be there, support. It's the least you could do. Like for us as men, our bodies don't change, don't do nothing. All of our changes are our changes. They're ours. Our bodies change on us. Their bodies change because of us. Because of that money shot, or because of the way you were hitting it, or because of Cabo or whatever night you had or that amazing, you know, night, you know, everything that we do sexually in conquest or fantasy affects them. We get the story. They get the changes and the feet and ankles and stretch marks and discomfort and kicking of the ribs while the baby's there. And, oh my God, hurry up and get this baby out of me, which is like, I don't have to go through that. Any of it. All I have to do is hear it and support her. So he was saying, get up with the baby. Get up with, you know, your lady, your wifey, the mom. Get up with her. Now, that was some powerful wisdom going into becoming a father that I never would have had unless I was talking to a father. How many other things can we share as men with other men to prepare men for their manhood? There's so many things. What financial advice should we be sharing with each other? What hygiene tips should we be sharing with each other? Your body, what health tips should we be sharing with each other? How should we be eating? Who should we be talking to? What kind of male and female mentors should we have as we grow and age into our 20s and 30s? Right? This is something that society has tried their best to help us with. You get a good teacher, a quality teacher, and they always talk about that one. They always talk about that one. And now I'm starting to realize that just public education might be low-key one of the greatest gifts that we ever get. Because at no time ever in life will you ever get this again. Will you ever get a group of people, adults, solely dedicated to making your mind better and mind sharper and preparing you for the real world? No one will ever do that again. College costs money. They don't care. Teachers will fail you in a second, not say nothing. They'll be like, yeah, okay. I'll be here next Tuesday if y'all need anything. But yeah, you fail. They don't give a rat. They don't give a darn. So that's all I'm saying is, at no time do you get that back ever. And it's a lot of pressure, and a lot of teachers feel that, and they stand up to it. I'll say 99% of them stand up to it, and they work with it. If they need to teach you math, they teach you math. Math is money. If they need to teach you social studies, history, all that, it's what was, so it's what will be. They do that. STEM, like all the STEM, you know, science, technology, English, math. They do all these things because you're going to use them every day. Now, you're not going to use all levels of math, all levels of history, but being able to comprehend and tell a quality story and use your numbers well and know what type of bonds and chemicals affect things as a plumber, as a fireman, especially a fireman, as a plumber, a fireman, or someone that does hair, you need to know these chemicals. You really need to know. So knowing yourself and enriching your strengths, qualities, values, knowledge, enriching your knowledge on what's coming is so beneficial to the future. And that's what I'm saying. Like, you sit and study for the career that you want. You sit and read and study to impact your business to do better. You sit and study these things. We got to sit and study our relationships. We got to sit and study how we're going to put ourselves out there in a relationship capacity. It's not safe to just feel everything. This is the way they make me feel. I can tell you right now, I would feel over the moon happy if somebody dropped any 2024 BMW sedan in my driveway right now. You could put any BMW sedan in my driveway right now. I'd be happy, so excited, because that's like one of my favorite cars. Or an Audi. You give me an Audi right now, any 2024 Audi sedan, whether it's just, you know, a casual or luxury edition, I'm happy. I feel great. But feeling doesn't fill the gas tank. Feeling doesn't clean the windshield or the car, which, by the way, I probably need to go wash my car. Feelings don't do maintenance for the car. Feelings don't rotate and you know, touch up those tires. Feelings don't do any of that. Now I'm realizing I got work to do on my car. I got a new car, so I gotta do work on it and make sure we maintain it. But isn't that it? When you get a new puppy, when you get a baby, a kitten, when you get anything new, how you keep it, how you maintain it shows me how you feel about it. Somebody else shouldn't love my car more than me. Somebody else shouldn't wash my car more than me. Now, that is a little bit creepy if people come over and try to wash my car. Yeah, that's creepy. But you get what I'm saying? Somebody else shouldn't be taking care of my things better than me. So what are you saying, Mr. Love Hunter? Are you saying that you allow cheating because people will spend quality time with someone that their husband or wife isn't? I'm not saying do it, but it happens. When you let somebody take your place, they will take your place. We have to take time to dig down a little bit deeper and understand who we are with. If I'm picking up those sides of the Rubik's Cube and looking at them thoroughly, and this is my husband or this is my wife, and we've been married for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, I should know those sides better than anybody. I have access to them in a way that their mom and their dad don't. And in like-minded fashion, your parents have access to you in a way that nobody else will. You know, they actually fed you and watched you grow. They watch your eyelashes and eyebrows form. I mean, come on now. So, I didn't know that. And I'm guilty of this. There's a lot of stuff that I'll try to do, and I'm not trying to hide it. I'm not trying to hide it at all. I just want to surprise my wife. Like when I told her we were going to go meet the pro volleyball team on Saturday, we were actually doing a surprise birthday party for her. I brought all her friends. She was like, "Where's the volleyball team? It's so dark in here." Soon as she got around the corner, surprise. But I knew that was the only way I could trick her into getting up there. Surprise. So that's all I'm saying is that your Rubik's Cube? Did you know? And this is an even harder gauge into looking at a person. Do you know what they're attracted to? Because you're not the only human being on the planet. So they should be able to tell you if someone is attractive or not. That's an easy marriage conversation. And one of my buddies and his wife laughed. Like he told his wife, he was like, "If Zoe Saldana is around me, Miss Gamora, Miss Avatar, Miss Drumline," he was like, "you better shoot me." He was like, "that is my celebrity crush." Or, you know, for ladies, Tay Diggs, splash. So I'm not the one to tell you you can and can't like a man, or you can and can't like this woman. Like, you got your celebrity crush. You were thirsting on them before you even met your husband or wife. And let's keep it real. You were attracted to people in general before you met your husband or wife. You can say whatever you want, but you're still attracted to people. The only difference is you don't act on that impulse. But if you see somebody and they catch you looking for a little bit, like, people can be so into themselves where they forget, I'm married to you. I love you. I want to see this in you. But if you ask me, "oh, so is that what you want? I want you. And I'm going to leave it at that." I want you. I need you. I married you. And a lot of people don't want to hear this, both male and female. If we're vibrating on the frequency that we need to, if we're listening to the same radio station, and we've got our Rubik's Cubes up to date, and we got, you may not have all the sides, you know, complete. But if we know what we need to know about each other going into each day, we take care of each other. We don't attack each other. We don't fight each other. We don't bicker and, so that what you want now? So that what you like? Oh, look a little bit longer, don't you? You don't need to do all that. That's not even necessary. So just like it's not necessary to bicker and argue and go back and forth, it should be necessary to do the opposite of that. The nagging and complaining should be complimenting and finding better resources to complement, right? If you're going to find every reason to nag and complain, you need to be finding every reason to complain and love on this person. This is your peeps. That's your man. That's your woman. If you can't come around the corner and be like, "Ooh, okay, I see you, come on." If you can't come around the corner and light them up, gas them up in a good way, they're not yours. If you can't fill their head up with some happiness, some love, some joy, with words, with your mouth, they're not yours. they're not yours. That's your job. That's your responsibility. Sickness and health, richer for poor, sickness, health, death, do us part. Keep all the good stuff. Why do people always focus on the bad stuff? Health, riches, better, like, focus on all the good stuff. How much of the good stuff are you doing? Why would I go to Costco if the shelves are empty all the time? Why would I go to Sam's Club if the shelves are empty all the time? Not doing it. Yeah, I did actually just make that sound. That's who I am. Welcome. So that's just the thing. As I love hooking people up and talking to people, one of the things I look for is, you know, what kind of shadow work have you done? What on the Rubik's Cube have you identified and you're working on? Because I can't hook you up with somebody that's evolved. I can't hook up a Titan with an ant. If they've evolved their Rubik's Cube to be so great and so powerful that it levitates and it's a golden cube now, I can't willingly submit that to somebody who likes to just complain every day. It's like trying to align a god with a gurgle. You're not even in the same sentence. But I'm done. I love you all. Hope you love me back. Work on your Rubik's Cube. Work on your shadow work. Align with and find somebody that's been doing what you're trying to do for 10 and 20 years. Ask them questions. Ask them, what do I need to be doing right now to secure what's better, what's coming? Because like any of my friends that are divorced or back out there, or any of the young people, they're trying to heal because nobody said these types of things to them. To go out and grow what you need. Go out and purchase what you need for the garden before the season. Go out and ask the questions from the quality farmers and the quality gardeners before it's time to plant. Get your notes, stack up, level up, and let's party. All right, I love y'all. Hope you love me back. I'll see you soon.